We are in Matthew chapter 5 still, if you'd like to turn there in your Bible or tap there on your screen. Chapter 5 of Matthew. The sermon series I've been taking you through is called The Sermon, and we're going through the Sermon on the Mount, verse by verse. It's in chapters 5, 6, and 7. We'll be in this thing until sometime in the fall. Never look at these commands, these teachings from Jesus, as a to-do list, as a list of rules that you must follow so you can get into heaven or you can be in part of the kingdom. You can't do enough good things to get into heaven. I hope you know that. Many of you know that, but we need to be reminded of that. You only get to heaven, you're only part of God's kingdom by the blood of Jesus Christ. He forgave your sins on the cross. He shed his blood for you in your place, and he offers this free gift of salvation. You can't buy it. You can't earn salvation. You can only accept it. You can only believe. And I hope that you have accepted that gift for yourself. If not, I would love to talk to you sometime soon. Get a hold of me. There'll be a prayer team up here after the service, but I would like to talk to you about Jesus. Part of accepting this free gift of salvation, one of the things we do is repentance. We have an initial repentance where we turn away from whatever we were doing over here in the world and we turn toward Jesus and begin to follow him. And then sometimes when we get pulled back, we also practice continual repentance in our life. And repentance means you're going to confess Jesus as Lord, not just some cheap salvation, cheap grace, but you are confessing Jesus as your Lord. Now, he's already Lord of the whole universe, but you are confessing him as Lord over your life. And if someone's Lord over your life, if Jesus is Lord over your life, then we need to obey him. If we don't obey Jesus, then he's not really Lord, is he? We don't obey Jesus out of obligation. We don't obey Jesus in a hope that we'll get something and our life will go better, although many of his commands will do just that. But what the reason we obey Jesus is out of a response of his love for us, what he's done for us. And every time you obey Jesus, you follow his commands, you are confessing him as Lord of your life all over again, and your witness confesses him as Lord. The things Jesus teaches are things he expects his followers to actually do, not just read about them and know them and all of that. And he gives us some hard teachings, there's no doubt. Some are very hard. Some are very hard to put into practice regularly. But don't forget this. Every believer that's had a true regeneration in their hearts, circumcision of the heart, Paul called it, you have the Holy Spirit. He has come to live in you. So I hope you know Jesus, and not just about him, but you really know him. If you do, don't forget, you have the Holy Spirit to call on anytime you want. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can call on the Holy Spirit, and he will help you live this life that seems so hard sometimes when Jesus tells us how to live. But it's not when we have the Holy Spirit helping us. Today's message is called Simply Yes or No. That comes from one of the verses. We'll get there in a few minutes from this section of Scripture. It's where we'll kind of end up today, and it's the one thing I want you to remember this week. When you think about life, and vows are made. We say our vows at weddings. Some people in this room have said their vows to each other right about where I'm standing. We take oaths of office for elected and appointed government positions from local all the way up to national offices. I had to take an oath of office when I was part of the city council in another town. Someone taking a military oath, you go to the military, you got to take an oath to protect the country, follow the military rules, all of that. And if you make a military oath, then you break that, you could be tried for treason in some cases. Oaths are taken in court. I had to take an oath to be on a jury one time. I was never a witness, but even juries, if you've been on jury duty, you probably had to, I promise to follow the judge's orders and the law and all of that. Police officers, they take an oath. Many examples of oaths, vows, promises in our culture. And it's a good chance that at least the adults in here have made a couple of those, especially if you're married, you certainly made one anyway. So think about the oaths or the vows or the promises or whatever you want to call them that you've personally taken, and lay those over these verses I'm going to read out of Matthew chapter 5. I'm starting in verse 33. I'm using the New International Version. Your version may read different, but it will be close to this. So starting in verse 33, Jesus speaking, "Again, you have heard it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair black or white. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." You may remember in your Bible reading a verse in James. I'm about to show it to you. Or you may remember it from the James series. I went over this last year when we had that James series. And James echoes in a verse what Jesus just taught. Reflects the same teaching that we see in Matthew 5. James 5, verse 12. You don't have to turn there. I'm not going to spend much time on it. But James wrote, "Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned." The part I want you to pay attention to in this particular verse, it's on the screen back. We don't have to go back there, but there's a part in the first part of the verse, "Do not swear, not by heaven or by anything else." Keep that in your mind, and now let's return to Matthew chapter 5, verse 33. Jesus says, "Again, you have heard it said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made." Now the word "again" there reminds us that Jesus is relating this. This is all one discussion. There are different subjects that come up. Last week we looked at lust and adultery, and now he's going to look at a different subject. But, you know, he starts these out. There's a pattern you can pick up in these verses. You know, he says, "You have heard, you have been taught, it has been said." And then he refers back to some law of the Old Testament or some teaching from it in general. And the things he referred to, remember, this is in the first century. This is mostly a Jewish audience that is hearing Jesus for the first time. They would have known exactly what he was talking about when he refers to these things. They knew their Bible. And the pattern holds here. This time, Jesus is not referring back to a specific law. Like last week, he said, "Do not commit adultery." That's right in the Ten Commandments. We know that one. But he was really referring back to several different Old Testament laws and kind of summarize them. So here's a few of them. I'm going to go through these really quickly. Leviticus 19:12, "Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." And then there's Numbers 30, verse 2. "When a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he said." I'll just show you one more for example, Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 21. "If you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not be slow to pay it. For the Lord your God will certainly demand it of you and you will be guilty of sin." Now Jesus may have had one of those, two of those, all three of them in mind, or maybe some other Old Testament laws when he made this statement. But the summary was, don't make a false oath. Don't make a false vow. You need to keep your promises. That's the bottom line. Keep your promises. Now look at the verse again in Matthew. Here it is again. "You've heard it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made." That seems simple enough. It's easy to understand. I think the first century people would have understood it. We can understand that. But then, as he has in previous subjects, he puts a twist on it. And he gets behind the intent of the law. Let's look at verses 34 and 35 together. "But I tell you," you've heard this said, "but I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king." This is where some digging into history outside the Bible can help us understand some first century culture here. We have some excellent Jewish history outside the Bible. There's still discoveries being made today. But there's some things, some writings that we have outside the Bible that could kind of help us frame this teaching and understand what they were actually hearing. There were interpreters in the day, including the Pharisees, or at least most of the Pharisees, that just like last week, if you were here last week or listened online, they found a loophole. They found a loophole in this. So what they came up with is if someone needed to make an oath in public, and that was a big deal in the culture, I won't go into all that, but first century Jerusalem and Israel and the surrounding area, making an oath in public was a pretty common thing. And sometimes you were under public pressure or peer pressure to make it. So you make an oath in public. You're going to have to make this oath. But you really don't have any intention of keeping it or ability to keep it. But you have to make the oath anyway because it's kind of a cultural thing. So what they would do, what they came up with, is that they would swear by something less than the name of the Lord, as it says in the Old Testament law. But it sounded similar enough. It sounded pretty good, but it wasn't actually swearing in the name of the Lord. And so Jesus gives some examples here in the verses we just read. I swear by heaven, I swear by the earth, I swear by Jerusalem. Now, those sound pretty religious and kind of, you know, pretty, pretty spiritual, right? But the Pharisees said if they made their oath that way, and then later if they had to break it, they couldn't keep the promise, or they never intended on keeping it in the first place, they could say, well, they didn't violate the Old Testament law. I didn't say I made my oath, my promise, in the name of the Lord. I said heaven. I said earth. I said by Jerusalem. I did not say it in God's name. So therefore, I did not break the law. That was their thinking. That was their loophole. This is an excellent example of hypocrisy and legalism. In verse 36, Jesus goes on to use a fourth example of what people would say in that day. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Now, I'm not going to go there now, but I'm just going to tell you about a section of Scripture. If you want to write it down, Matthew 26. And Jesus was having a discussion with the religious leaders in this section, and it was this same subject. And he added some other ways that people made oaths in that day without actually making them in God's name. And in that chapter, he pointed out that people swore by the gold of the temple, the altar, the temple itself. And then in that Matthew 26 chapter, he repeated the one about swearing by heaven. So here are all the ways, we'll throw them up on the screen, here's all the ways that Jesus said people were making oaths by to get around this, not making it in the name of the Lord. And so I'm combining the ones in chapter 5 and verse and also chapter 26. So they make it in heaven. Well, heaven is God's throne. The earth, that's God's footstool, Jesus said. Jerusalem, that's God's city, Jesus said. Your own head, that's God's body. If you are you belong to Jesus, your body, everything about you, you've given yourself over to him. You don't even have any control over the hair on your head, whether it grows or not or what color it is. I won't say anything about the ladies. Or some of the guys, I don't know. The temple gold, that's God's money. The altar, that's God's altar. The temple is God's temple. It all belongs to God. So when they tried this loophole, they were really still making their oath in God's name. They just, you know, kind of convinced themselves they weren't. And they broke their oaths without breaking the Old Testament law, or so they said. Legalistic loopholes. I have two children. My second born is also Diana's second born. I was saying it's my kid. Sometimes it's her kid. Anyway, our second born is named Madeline. She's 25. And she lives out in Colorado with her husband. This is about 15 years ago. She's around 10 years old. And this kid should have been a lawyer, I tell you. And we had a Nintendo Wii at the time, which was like the latest, the most current version of the Nintendo gaming system. And we played it as a family. And so we had this Wii set up in our living room and all that. And she got in trouble for something. I don't know if it was related to the Wii or whatever, but she got in trouble and we grounded her for like a week from the Wii. You can't play the Nintendo for a week. And she accepted that punishment as or that consequence, as I remember. Later that day, I go to the back room, which was kind of a small family room, different part of the house. Now, my son likes to, or did like to anyway, collect all things Nintendo. And so back there, he had an older system, the Nintendo GameCube. Some of you guys grew up on the GameCube, right? And somebody had given it to him, and he had it set up on this other smaller television. I walk back to the room, and there's Madeline playing on the GameCube. And I said, Madeline, why are you playing Nintendo? You just got grounded from this today. Oh, I'm not playing that Nintendo. I'm playing this Nintendo. I'm going to get you, kid. She was right as far as the letter of the law is concerned, but she certainly was breaking the spirit of the law. She found a loophole. She should have been an attorney, like I said. So linguistic loopholes are not the way to get out of things. Linguistic loopholes are not the way to get out of an oath. So what do we do? What do we do? We read these verses. Jesus says, don't even take an oath at all, or don't swear an oath at all. Do we refuse to take all oaths? Do we not make wedding vows? Or do we have to, you know, do some gymnastics and call it something else? Are we supposed to do that? Jesus gives us a simple answer. It's easy to remember, even if you only remember the first part of the verse. Very easy to remember. Not always easy to put into practice. But in verse 37, he says, all you need to do, or all you need to say, is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. That covers it all, right? Yes or no. Some versions will say something like, let your yes mean yes, or let your no mean no. Keep your promises. Don't promise something that you can't keep. Be willing to say no if you can't do something, or if you're going to say, no, I won't do that thing anymore, then keep your word. So let's bring that over to today. Earlier, I listed some vows or oaths that we make in our culture, like government and wedding vows and things. Some people have taken these verses in Matthew 5, and they say that you cannot take an oath. You can't take an oath of office, any kind of oath, whatever it's called. You can't make a vow. Now, I believe that's getting hung up on English words and not the biblical intent. Verse 37 sums up the intent of the law. Just say yes or no. That's all you need to do, Jesus says. Nothing more is needed. And people need to know, as you build a reputation with a new friend or in the community, in your business, they need to know that when you say yes, you mean yes. And if you have to say no, then you mean no. So is it wrong to take an oath of office or a marriage vow or whatever you want to call it? No, I don't think so. It's called what it's called by someone else. You're not really, you know, swearing by anything. You're just saying yes or no to whatever they're asking you. When you answer it, though, your word needs to be good, whether they call it a promise, a vow, an oath, or whatever. Keep your word. And stay away from silly phrases. Man, we get caught up in these sometimes. I know I used to when I was a teenager, trying to stay out of trouble with my parents and all that. But, you know, people aren't stupid. They know. I like the show Cops. You guys watch the show Cops ever? It's been on the air for 34 years now. Isn't that crazy? And I've been able to watch it lately because it's on another network. But the show Cops, watch it. They pull over somebody. Somebody's walking down the street. They stop them, and they're asking them something. Or they found something on them. And then they ask them, hey, are these drugs yours? Oh, no, I swear to stack of Bibles that they're not mine. They might say, I swear on my mama's grave or my mama's life that this car isn't stolen. I'll swear on this, swear on that. Oh, give me a lie detector test right now. I've heard that one on Cops a lot, like they carry around portable lie detectors. Every time I hear that on Cops, I automatically know they're lying to the officer, and the officer's trained, and so the officer knows they're lying as well. So, especially my kids and teens, but really this is for all of us, it doesn't always feel like it in a given moment, especially in the relationship area. But telling the truth will always go better for you, whether it's with your parents, with a teacher, with your spouse, whatever it is. Telling the truth is always going to go better for you, even if there's some short-term consequences, and you may feel like hiding some things. That's a natural reaction when something has happened that's not good. If you messed up, you messed up. And to own up to that is what Jesus is saying. Just yes or no. Which is it? Yes or no? Don't look for linguistic gymnastics to tell half-truths or to wiggle out of something. Because that's what the Pharisees did in the first century. And it ties in last week with the verses on marriage. If you say yes to your vows, or if you want to call them promises, that's fine. You say yes at your wedding, then your yes should mean yes until one of you dies. That's what we're promising in at our wedding, for our marriage. And your spouse should know that your yes means yes and your no means no. Or your no is not really a no, or your yes is really not a yes if they don't mean those things. Look at the verse again. Anything other than that comes from the evil one. That's satanic. It's demonic. It's coming from Satan. It's not coming from the Lord. Last week, we welcomed 5 new members to Bethel. It was great if you were here. It was Hunter Edgar, Kenny and Haley Purrington, Josh and Jessica Logabell. They're all 5 here today. And I mentioned during that time, you might have not even caught it, but I talked about the covenant that they signed. That's part of our, can't get it out, Constitution. And they signed that covenant to be members. And I said that someday soon we're going to be looking at the covenant. Well, soon is today. So soon came soon. Because a covenant involves saying yes or no. A covenant involves promises. Now, we've been using this covenant for about 5 years. So it predates my arrival at Bethel. And I think 5 years is right. I think it was part of the 2017 constitutional amendments. It may have been earlier than that, but for sure it was in place by then. And many of you that have been members longer than 2017, you were grandfathered in before this covenant was added. They didn't ask you to come and sign another covenant. But it still reflects, even if you're grandfathered in, it still reflects what what membership should be and what our current understanding of membership at Bethel is. Membership in a church, whether it's Bethel or another church, should mean something far more than having your name on a list. Our constitution and covenant helps people from becoming that. So even if you're grandfathered in, this is what membership means at Bethel. And if you're a member, your yes should mean yes, and your no should be no. If you can't say yes to the covenant, then it's not time to be a member yet, and you should say no, and that's okay. The first part of the covenant lists some things to say yes or no to. The first thing the covenant says is, by entering into this covenant, I confirm the following. And then it goes into 5 things that you're saying yes to. I have confessed Jesus as Lord and committed my life to serving him. I have publicly professed my faith in Christ. I have been baptized, and I'm going to take a short side trip there. Baptism is not salvation. Salvation is not baptism. You're just not automatically saved. Baptism does not save you. Baptism is something you do in response to what happened already, the salvation that happened inside of you. And membership is neither of those things. Those are 3 different things. All right, we'll move on. I understand and agree with Bethel's statement of faith. And lastly, I am willing to follow the terms of the Bethel Constitution. If the answer is no to anyone that's considering becoming a member, then that person isn't ready to become a member, and that's okay. You're still part of the Bethel family, and that you're just not an official member. Then the covenant has a second part to it. And there's 4 sections in that second part. And the beginning of those sections says this: I commit myself to God and covenant with the other members of Bethel Fellowship Church to do the following as God enables me. So you're going to say yes or no to this, right? So think about what someone is saying, because they signed these covenants. Think about what someone's saying. You're committing to God. You're making this covenant in God's eyes. You're committing to the other members, the Bethel family. And you're going to do the following as God enables me. Obviously, some people become incapacitated and can't do some things, but you can figure that out. But for the most part, These are the things our covenant says we should be doing. So here's the first of the four sections, and it involves church unity. I will protect the unity of my church by acting in love toward other members, by refusing to gossip, by respecting the leaders. So if you're a member or considering doing one, are you striving to do those things? A simple yes or no will do according to Jesus. Now the next section deals with your personal responsibilities within the church. And it says in the covenant, I will share the responsibility of my church by praying for its impact in the community and the world, by witnessing about Christ in word and deed, by warmly welcoming those who visit the church. Are you actively doing those things? A simple yes or no will do according to Jesus. There's a third section, and it has to do with your ministry within the church. And it says, I will support the ministry of my church by discovering and using my gifts and talents, by attending regularly, by giving financially as an act of worship, by developing and deepening community. So what's your answer to those things? Are you actively doing those things? A simple yes or no will do, according to Jesus. And the final section has to do with your testimony within the church. And it says, I will enhance the testimony of my church by being passionate in worship, by being trained in Scripture, by being loving in relationships, by being fruitful in ministry. Do those things describe your current involvement in the church? A simple yes or no will do according to Jesus. And I'm not just like going retro back to telling this to the five that joined this week and the one that's going to join later in the service today. This is for all of us. A simple yes or no. These are the things in our membership covenant. And you can only answer this. I don't take attendance. I don't keep track of these things. You're either doing them or you're not. Membership is more than a list of people who can vote at business meetings and hold office in the church. It is a covenant of promises that we agree to keep. It is part of our constitution. So, are you keeping them? A simple yes or no will do, according to Jesus. Now let's go back to Matthew 5:37. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. That's easy to remember. It's easy to apply to so many things in life. It's not always easy to live out. I know. That's why I said we need to call on the Holy Spirit when it gets hard. But we can do it with the help of the Holy Spirit. But it applies to a lot of things in life. It applies to a church covenant. It applies to a marriage. Something you promised your boss at work that you would do or not do, stop doing. Something you promised a customer. A promise you made to your parent. A promise you made as a parent to your child. A promise to pray for someone. How many times have you said, I will pray for you, and then you didn't actually do it? I think most Christians say they're guilty of that at one time or another. Look, let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. And live your life in a way that people know and have no need to question it. Don't look for loopholes. That's what the Pharisees did. And that's what we do sometimes when we want to wiggle out of trouble. Just simply say yes or no and mean it. Because anything else, it's in the verse, anything else comes from the evil one. So prayer team, if you'd find a spot up here, we're going to have some ministry time in just a moment. And I'll have some reflection questions for you, and we'll get to them in a second. The prayer team will be up here to pray with you for any reason. If you want to talk about Jesus or something going on in your life that you want prayer for, they will keep that confidential. If you need to go somewhere more private, they can help you with that. So I have some questions of reflection this morning. I'll bring them up. I'll give you a few minutes to think about them. All right, the first one. These are really easy. Does my yes mean yes and my no mean no with no attempted loopholes? All right. The second one, is that my reputation with other people? And the third one, almost always, is what do I need to do about it? So I encourage you to spend time with God. These are questions you're asking of yourself. You don't owe anybody else in this room an answer. Talk to God. Think about it. Reflect on it. I'll give you some time, and then I'll come back and pray for all of us. Let's do that now. Father, most all of us in this room can understand your teaching here, even our young children. When we say yes, we ought to mean it. When we say no, we ought to mean it. And so often, Lord, we find ourselves, whether it's in marriage or work or relationships of other kinds, of trying to do linguistic gymnastics, trying to get ourselves out of things. When you've asked us to be just yes or no, and we don't need to say anything further. I pray that you would help us to put this into practice. It's simple. We understand it, Jesus. Holy Spirit, help us to actually live it. Convict us when we aren't living it. Don't let us fool our own selves with loopholes. We thank you for this teaching, Lord. We know that this teaching, like all your teachings, are meant to bless us or protect us or both. And so help us to follow them, to put them into practice. I pray for all my friends here, Lord. I pray that they would hear your voice. They would respond to your word. And we thank you, Lord, for giving it to us. May it be so in Jesus' name. Amen.